Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
...that makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Neat or on the rocks? It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
We're considering it, seriously considering it. You know I'm a fan of Western New York section and golf in New York. I grew up in New York. You guys know that. I was in the Northeast New York PGA section. There's so much great golf in New York, especially in Western New York where you folks are based. And we are seriously considering coming back to Western New York and to Oak Hill Country Club. And I've been in talks with them. I'm excited to see their renovations to the clubhouse that are going on. I understand they're going to open up in June. So just great stuff and great golf, and we hope to get back there one day.
And it wouldn't be till 2033 anyway, because we're out to 2032. Is that correct?
Yeah. We just announced Southern Hills back in Tulsa. Similar market size, you know, as Rochester. So, and you know, you have a golf-rich environment there in Western New York, and that's what excites the PGA of America as well. And just great partners at Oak Hill, just wonderful people there that, you know, love the game, love the PGA of America. And those are the type of clubs that we want to do business with.
There's Derek Sprague on Tee to Green with our next guest, Brian Cozio, host of Tee to Green. We don't need to talk about the PGA Championship. Let's just play that on a loop for the next 20 minutes,
that
Brian.
That sounds like a yes to me, Brian.
Music to our ears. Brian, welcome back in. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, guys. That was a positive soundbite. We were excited to have Derek Sprague on. Obviously, he was very busy in Quail Hollow. He was nice to give us a few minutes. If I knew he wasn't running the biggest tournament of their season, I would have asked about six follow-ups. But we got at least a little nice information there about Oak Hill, and we mentioned 2033. As you heard, that's the year that we've all been kind of looking at as the possible spot. And I'm interested to hear what you guys think. But I took that as a fairly good positive comment from Derek Sprague here, who obviously has a super large voice being the CEO of the PGA of America.
One thing I took out of that where he's talking about the clubhouse renovations, and I don't know if that's we'll come back if, you know, that's a negotiation thing, but the fact that he says he's excited to see them, Brian, we just kind of deductively think, all right, at least we're going to do a Zoom here. We're going to do a little tour here, how this is going to look here, because to me, do we know if there were any other conditions that perhaps the PGA of America was asking for Oak Hill? Not like what they did back a few years ago with all the trees coming down.
Yeah, I think that the course they know now is definitely up to modern standards of golf, so you know, obviously there are courses that they say, well, you got to lengthen or you need to go back to some different looks. The course itself now at Oak Hill, we know, is ready for major championship golf at any level. But I think you guys and I have talked about this before, like logistically, there's a lot that goes into running a tournament beyond just the golf course, and whether it's clubhouse, whether it's facilities, whether it's build out for bleachers, merchandise, VIP, corporate sponsorship, television, media center, all those things that go into it. We know you can't just make space. So the good thing is that there's a West course, which, you know, we all know is a great golf course too, but that at least allows land to build out some of these things and space for what they need. The clubhouse though, we know it's big time money and big time bucks. You got to have space for those things. You got to have corporate sponsorships and, all your celebrities and all your supporters and families and friends and VIP people there that are there of the players. And if you can take care of them and run everything that you need to in the clubhouse area, I agree with what you said there. The fact that he says, I can't wait to see what's going on, makes me think, okay, he's going to have a planned meeting here at some point to go see what these renovations look like. And hopefully he likes what he sees to the point where maybe now he can go back to the board of the PGA of America and say, yeah, Oak Hill's ready. Let's let's finalize this 2033 agreement here and get the PGA back in Rochester.
So, Brian, with what he's saying on your show, what we're talking about here in terms of the PGA returning to Rochester, returning to Oak Hill, what is a timeline for an actual announcement? Because he also mentioned that they just announced Tulsa the year prior to 2032. So is it safe to assume that, you know, by next year's PGA championship, we should have something signed, sealed, and delivered?
I think that's probably a fair timeline to give. I mean, if they are, what, 7 years out of the 2032 event that they had just awarded to Southern Hills, you figure then next year at the 2026 PGA, as we've said, they like to usually announce one or two future sites during the Monday or the Tuesday of the event to kind of, you know, they have their biggest media coverage of the season there to cover their event. So why not make an announcement? It's a good time to do it. You've got a gamut of media there to help promote your announcement. So that's usually the time that it's done. If we're connecting dots and we're talking about the renovations and we're talking about what Derek Sprague there about seeing the renovations, the fact that he also is from, he's from North Country in New York. So like, he's got to have a little soft spot too for wanting to get it back to New York State. So I connecting all these dots from hearing what he said, I would then go into next year's PGA with a grand hope that there is an announcement that maybe that we're going to see 2033 PGA back at Oak Hill.
Fantastic get there in terms of a guest and pulling that out. And I was excited to get hear that on Saturday, Brian. Thank you so much for sharing that with us and being on top of that story. Brian Koziol, your host of Tee to Green, WGR, also does the post game and intermission for the Buffalo Sabres. And Brian, as far as what we saw on Sunday, and mind you, I'm not saying he's Tiger Woods, but in my opinion, that looked kind of like a Tiger-like kind of major win, meaning, hey, here I am on the leaderboard, and then the competitors just kind of fall away one by one. Your thoughts on what you saw Sunday and overall in the tournament there from Scottie Scheffler?
It did feel very Tiger-like for him walking up 18 with a six-stroke lead, and yeah, it got tight at the halfway point. But guess what? He rose to the occasion, and the other players faltered. For a variety of reasons, that is how Tiger won some of his majors, for sure, where it would be close, and then he ultimately would separate. And the other players, a lot of them just fell back. You know, John Rahm probably, it felt like, posed the most dangerous threat. When they had it tied, they were both at 9-under, and Rahm didn't take advantage of some of the scoreable holes on 14 and 15, and then he went to the green mile holes that people have mentioned, that you mentioned if you watch that, the 16, 17, 18, that is very difficult, knowing, well, now I'm down, and now you got to press the envelope a little. Playing aggressive on those holes really isn't the best recipe for success, and he ultimately, that's when he went over par to finish, Rahm did, and that's what really widened the gap at the end to make it look kind of one-sided. But, I mean, even mid-back nine, there was still a lot of drama. It was still pretty close, but Scheffler is as cool of a customer under pressure as I think we've seen since Tiger. It's really, really impressive that he can kind of, you know, Tiger used to just step on the pedal, and you knew it just the way he walked, the way he swung the club, the way he strutted around, the way he would be confident over the ball. But Scheffler quietly kind of just gets it done, and I never really sat there during the back nine ever and thought, like, oh, Scheffler's going to allow players to come back here. I really thought that it was going to have to be somebody that would have to catch him. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. So for Scheffler now, major number three, to have multiple Masters and another major before the age of 30, that puts him in the class of like Woods and Nicklaus, which we know are obviously, you know, the kings of golf. So so far, an incredible career for Scheffler. He's almost been so good, Scheffler, over the last handful of years. It's weird to think that he's never won another major outside of Augusta Nationals. But yeah, that was his first major win beyond getting two green jackets. But he's trending in the right direction. I'm sure he'll be the favorite for the U.S. Open and the favorite for the Open coming up in July. And a real impressive performance, really steady, even when he wasn't even perfect over the course of 4 days. That's how Tiger used to win those matches.
Yep. Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it!
all the wild.
Here comes Ramos. This game is over.
All the weird.
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
That makes the MLB season special. Check out the morning lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian, I what I liked about Scheffler, and I've always said, you know what, Scheffler's great. We love watching him because he's a really good golfer, but he's boring. He just doesn't have a lot of personality. He doesn't have a lot of swagger. This tournament, we saw a little bit more. We heard a little bit more from Scottie Scheffler. He wasn't pleased after Thursday, and it wasn't just his game that he wasn't pleased with. He just wasn't pleased, and it felt like he took it out on everybody else the final three rounds of the weekend leading up to that reaction on 18, winning it all and slamming his hat down on the ground. I mean, like, that to me is the most animated I think we've ever seen Scheffler in a win.
I agree. He's to him to throw the hat, it seems like almost misbehaving for Scheffler, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it really does. Even Thursday, he wasn't upset about it, but he gave a 3-minute answer about mud being on the ball that
right.
he didn't like, and he thought the PGA of America should have maybe played it. They call playing the ball up or playing the ball down. Up is when you can actually touch it and do lift clean in place. But they decided to play it down, and the course was soft from the rain on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so they were getting some mud balls, and Scheffler kind of elaborated by saying, look, you work your whole life to understand how the golf ball is going to work and understand how to shape the ball one way or the other, and then all of a sudden you throw a little clump of mud on the ball, and suddenly you lose total control. And, you know, I'm sure there's golf purists that are listening and say, well, that's the way the game's supposed to be played. It's an outdoor sport. You play it as it lies. That's like one of the, you know, grandfather rules of all of golf. You know, and then there's others that might say, well, you're taking total luck and randomness into play here by, you know, if it's wet and it's been soaked, that's why you have the rule, the lift clean in place rule, essentially. Should you be penalized if you're in the fairway? If you're in the rough, that's different. Not to take a side here, but I kind of could see both sides there, and I could see why he's upset about it, because he says, look, it is kind of random, it is kind of lucky. But at the same time, it's an outdoor sport. All sports have to deal with the elements when you're playing outside, to the point where sometimes you're going to get Mother Nature involved and it might give you an unlucky break here or there. But overall, that was an emotional, you know, reaction when he won. He seemed to be a little bit more vocal in terms of just, you know, his displeasure on Thursday with the rules. But and Scheffler has the podium to do this, or he has the platform to do it. He's the number one player in the world now for consecutive years. He's been dominating. He can be the voice of golf if he wants to. I mean, McIlroy has kind of held that for a long time. Justin Thomas still kind of fills that role. Jordan Spieth fills that role. But if Scheffler wants to, you know, quote, be the voice of the game, he certainly can have it. He's been good enough that he would command respect with whatever he says.
Brian Colziol, your host of Tee to Green here on the Sports Bar, 95.7 FM and AM 950. Brian, well, Rory didn't speak this week, and I don't know if that was because he was upset about the driver controversy. I wanted to get your thoughts on that, if you can kind of explain. And I mean, Brian, I guess the first question I have is, like, why are they cherry-picking some inspections here, and why not just make it kind of uniform? We're going to check these drivers across the board here.
Yeah, and McIlroy found out on Tuesday that his driver is non-conforming. That doesn't mean that he cheated. It doesn't mean that he was using an illegal driver. It just meant that possibly something with it maybe isn't exactly where it needs to be. It could even just be like wearing over time, like maybe the grooves aren't up to par, or the grip, or you know, or the weight and all that sort of stuff. Scheffler mentioned that too. He said that they need to be more consistent with these rules. And he's like, there's no reason why they shouldn't test everybody, not just a third of the field or not just a half of the field. And he even said, he goes, look, we've been using a driver for about a year now and we hadn't been tested. And Scheffler said, by the way, that his driver failed too. We just didn't get a report about it until Scheffler came out and said it. So it is kind of weird that golf, which is supposed to be, you know, game of honor, game of integrity, and we keep hearing like, well, these drivers are non-conforming, but there's never really a real reason why. It literally could be that they've just used it for so long that the face of the club now doesn't have up to standards in terms of what the grooves are supposed to be and things like that, or the weight itself. So it doesn't mean McIlroy cheated, but his play was, you know, subpar. He got off to kind of a bad start the first day that put him into a hole that he made the cut on the number. But to not talk for four straight days, to me, if I'm advising Rory McIlroy as his PR manager, I'm telling him, look, you got to talk one day here. Then they're going to want to ask you about the driver and just tell him what happened, just like Scheffler did. No accusations. By not talking, it makes it kind of feel like, you know, for people that might not know how those inspections go, like maybe he did try to get away with something. So I would have advised McIlroy to talk. Plus, dude, you're the Masters champion. You were coming in, winning the Players, winning the Masters. You were on your way to maybe having a historic season if you could have somehow won the PGA. Like, you didn't talk every day. That's fine. But at some point, you know, the tournament's over. I think by him not talking, it just makes him look not in the best of light, in my opinion.
Brian, before we let you go, timeline it out for us here. What's the schedule for the next few weeks as we lead up to the U.S. Open?
So, let's see. These next few weeks, next this week, not elevated. Following week, Canadian Open, Toronto. So, for those of you in your listening audience here, if you want to go to the RBC Canadian Open, it's at TPC Toronto. It's a new course on the rotation. There's a few that they play in the Southern Ontario area that they've been rotating through, but this one's a new one. And then 2 weeks after that, it's the U.S. Open at Oakmont in Pittsburgh. I guess also a drivable do if you wanted to go see some really, really good golf. So no elevated event this week. Then the RBC Canadian Open. McIlroy's committed to playing there. And then 2 weeks after that, Father's Day weekend is the U.S. Open, and we'll get our third major going at one of the hardest golf courses in the world at Oakmont.
Wow, that's well, Brian. Let's do this again right before Oakmont. Tell everybody about Tee to Green because you can hear guests like, gosh, the CEO of the PGA of America joining you this week. Brian, tell everybody about when they can catch the show.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Every Saturday morning, 7 a.m. We go 7 to 8 every week. If it's a major week, we go 7 to 9, and courses all across Western New York. And hopefully, if you can't listen with your signal on WGR 550, you can listen anywhere, no matter where you're listening around the world, on the Odyssey app. And go click on WGR and get it there. So appreciate it if anybody wants to tune in. We'd love to have you. We also are doing a video stream this year as well. So if you want to follow us on social media, it's at T2G Buffalo. We are doing our show live video streaming on X, on Instagram, and on YouTube as well.
Fantastic, Brian. Appreciate the time. Let's do it again in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good. Looking forward to getting ready for the U.S. Open. We'll be chatting about it.
You got it. Brian Cozio. That's the pride of SUNY Brockport, by the way. Tee to Green, WGR, also the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Great job covering the PGA, covering the PGA Championship, and giving us that little nugget there about Oak Hill.
That was that's fantastic. And my interpretation is, like you said, just making sure everything is in order, and there will come a time where they'll announce Oak Hill, I would hope 2033.
Yeah. And the timeline works out, right? Because they just announced 2032 this weekend, awarding that to Tulsa. So Rochester in line. I'd be surprised at this point. Something really would have to not go Oak Hill's way for them to not get that announcement here within the next 12 months. Good news. Love hearing that. What an unbelievable time. Hell, such a good time at Oak Hill for the PGA Championship. He was talking about the Canadian Open coming up here in a couple weeks. I'm like, I'm listening. I'm interested. Tell me more about the PGA making a round there in Toronto.
In
Toronto, taking in some golf.
You would go up there, drop of the hat to Toronto, I think. So,
for sure. Yeah, that's no question. All right, Gino, I know you had some thoughts on Brock Purdy and his contract extension. We're going to talk some more Rochester American, some more Stanley Cup playoffs with Joe Jordan. He's going to join us here coming up in the 4 o'clock hour as well.
Yeah, and gosh, something that happened last night during the Leafs game that I'm just like, I don't quite get this behavior. Now, mind you, like everybody's pointing out, like, is there a team, this isn't a take, but a team that has more resources, more support from their market than the Leafs that has come up with nothing? You would have figured they accidentally, they would have like tripped into something at some point.
They might be the most unclutch franchise in all of professional sports.
If it's not them, who is it?
Right. Tell me a team who is not as clutch. Don't say the Buffalo Bills. I'm not listening to you if you're saying it's the Buffalo Bills. But they're just a team that can't. You talk about a team that can't get over the hump. I mean, the Bills have a ways to go before they reach Toronto status.
Right. Like, see, Deidre, that always irked me. Like, when the Philadelphia Eagles got the four straight NFC championships before they've, well, we're the Buffalo Bills. No, you're not. You haven't been to a Super Bowl yet. Like, if anybody wants to say the Bills are unclutch, Toronto hasn't even been to a final. What are we talking about?
Well,
since 67.
In recent years, the Bills have not been to a Super Bowl. And I guess that's the comparison I'm making. 90s aside, when you look at what the Bills have done in the postseason, the regular season has been great, but the postseason, this is what we talk about, right? I mean, we spend so much time talking, what's this team got to do to get over the hump? What do they got to do to get back to the Super Bowl? And I have a feeling a lot of the similar conversations are happening in Toronto about their Leafs and their inability to advance in the postseason and get to a Stanley Cup final.
It's not, I'm just checking here, since 67, did they actually go to a final? Because that would just, like, okay, then we get, I'll have to look that up here. But the point being that, that they are right now holding the crown. Don't come at me with the Bills.
No. Well, I know some people will just because that's what they do. And if we're talking a little NFL here, coming up next in the sports bar, there is something that I think we're all kind of reserved to saying goodbye to that will be voted on during this week's May owners meetings in the NFL. We'll get into that as well. We have plenty of time. If you want to join us, hit us up at 866-4FAN, 585-8664. Well, you got one?
No, I was just going to say, Toronto hasn't been to the final since 67. They haven't even been to the final.
No, they are the most unclutch franchise in all of professional sports. 866-4326 if you want to pull up a stool and join us in the sports bar.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. A new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.